Well, as we come to the book of Jonah today, we're in chapter 2. And I was sharing with you last week that a lot of folks look at this book in the Bible and some question why it's even there. Others would say it's more like a children's story. It's a fairy tale and those kind of things. And I hope, as you heard last week and as you'll hear in the coming weeks, that that's just not true. It is Scripture. It's given inspired by the Holy Spirit. And with this is testified to by the Lord Jesus Christ himself to be true. We understood, staying after our study last week, that Jonah was a real prophet in Israel. He was a real person. And so as Jesus refers to this story and the fact that he was basically resurrected from the dead after 3 days in the belly of a fish, and is assigned to identify with his 3 days in the tomb and being resurrected as well, and it gives the hope and the promise of eternal life. And so it's a true story. But as we finished our story last week, we saw where he had been rebellious. The Lord had brought a great storm against the ship to the point that the sailors and all their livelihood were throwing over the cargo and taking the chance of not getting paid when they got to safety, just over trying to save their own lives. They were fearing their own lives and fearing that the ship was going to be destroyed. And through that, when they cast lots, it became clear that Jonah was the culprit. He was the one that the Lord was bringing his wrath against. And so they called upon him to pray, and he didn't pray. They asked him where he was from, and he told them, but he didn't tell them he was a man of God. He didn't tell them he was a prophet. He just said, I'm a Hebrew. He didn't even call himself an Israelite. And so he was in complete rebellion against God, even though he was God's prophet. And so he told them, rather than calling upon the Lord and asking for forgiveness and asking the Lord to save him and to save all of them, he says, just throw me in the sea and it'll be okay for you. And just as Jonah said, it happened. That when he hit the water, the Lord began to calm the seas. But let me just say this. It didn't happen instantaneous. It's because when we read this chapter here today, we begin to kind of get a little bit of a feel of the urgency of the fact that Jonah, like many of those and ourselves that have been in rebellion against God, is that we kind of may take that tendency too as, well, I'll take my chances, Lord, whatever it is you want to bring, I trust you, you won't destroy me, but I can deal with it. And then once we get into the midst of trouble, we begin to cry out to the Lord, Lord, help me. Lord, save me. You know, I was reading as I was preparing for this message today, and I was reading a story about an evangelist that when he was a young boy, they were having an evangelist come to preach a revival, and his dad served in the church and was faithful in the church. And he told him, he said, you're going to sit on the front row, and you're going to be right there to hear everything he has to say. And as that preacher began to preach that first night, it was as if he was speaking directly to this young man. I've got two men on the front row today. I told him earlier, I'm not used to having this. And so I'm going to preach to you this morning, brother. And so I may spit on you, may shout a little bit, but hopefully the conviction of the Lord will fall upon you like this young evangelist when he was younger. Is he became so under conviction, knowing that not only was the Lord drawing him to himself and acknowledging the fact that he was a sinner and that he needed to turn to him to get saved, but he also felt the call of God upon his life that not only was he going to surrender his life into asking him to save him for salvation, but he's going to be called into full-time ministry. Now, people say, you can't know that. Listen, nothing's impossible with God. Too many times you hear stories like that of men of God that are faithful men of God, been used by God, that from the time they were called, they knew they were called not to sit on a pew, but to be proclaiming the message of the gospel. And so he said, the second night he was preaching to him, and he knew if he went back a third night, is that he was going to go down, he's going to commit his life, he's going to be committed to the gospel. So when everybody went to bed, he packed his shirt and he packed his pajamas and a few things, and he slipped out the door and he slid off down towards Mississippi. And so he got a job working in a sawmill, was there for a couple of weeks, and they ran out of logs where they were sawing. And so the foreman said, well, there's some old logs here we hadn't run, for whatever reason, hadn't run them. But when they got to running those logs through, his job was, it was an old sawmill with a big the blade turning up there, and his job was to take the hooks and try to turn the thing to get it lined up on the sawmill and walk down along with it and keep it rolling in the right direction to keep it so it would cut straight. And so as he was doing that, they had one log that had for whatever reason, they had started cutting and they quit. And it had a split right down the middle. And when he hooked that log and he was trying to roll it, somehow or another, the tip of his index finger got caught in the wedge of that split, and it closed on him. And so he's hooked in that thing, and he's screaming as it's dragging him along, and he's screaming, "Help, help me, cut the saw off, help me." As he's hollering, everyone is there by the saw. If you've ever been around a sawmill, it's so loud and so much noise that they couldn't hear him. And he knew within about 45 seconds, something bad was going to happen if they didn't cut that saw off, didn't help get him out of there. And sure enough, he got closer and closer to the saw, to the point that he realized that I'm not going to be safe. And the saw cut the tip of his finger off. But when it did, he was able to pull back and he was freed and he was saved. But what happened with that is this man realized that God had a plan for his life and he had spared him. You see, sometimes we get ourselves into trouble and we think there's no hope and there's no help. But he says in that 45 seconds, I got earnest with God. I got honest with God. And I began to cry out to him, and he asked the Lord to save him. He asked and said, "Lord, I'll commit my life to you, and I'll be that servant of yours. I'll proclaim the message of the gospel," and many other things in that 45 seconds of prayer. Because you know why? He was in a crisis. Too often, we just sit back and we pray. And he said from that point since then, he said in an hour's prayer, he's not communicated as much with God and as honestly as he did during that 45 seconds that he saved him. And he didn't die through that accident. You know what, folks? We hear story after story of saints of God that have what we call dynamic or dramatic testimonies of being saved from the very pits of hell. But you know, it's because they're being honest with God. And they're looking at themselves and they're looking at him and they're acknowledging who they are and they acknowledge who he is. And they're calling out to him to save them. That's where Jonah is. You see, Jonah said, "Just throw me over the side." But when he hit the water, everything of his being changed from like, I got this, to, "Lord, I don't have a clue. I don't know what's going to happen, but I need you." And let me just say, as we see these little cartoons that they do with the stories of Noah and things, it's almost like they throw him right into the mouth of the whale. No, I think it's very clear, as we're going to see in just a moment, is that when he hit that water, the Lord let him sink for a while. As he was going down to the very bottom, because it talks about the weeds wrapping around his head. It talks about the bars closing behind him, it seemed like. And you just sense, it almost sense like he was just gasping for breath and just crying out, "Lord, help me." Let me just say this. If you're desperate for God today, that's the kind of prayers you pray too. It's a prayer in crisis. It's a prayer committed to the Lord. And when you're praying that prayer, and we pray a lot of times like we did earlier, and there's nothing wrong with it, praying for people that are sick and things that we're asking for and those things. But when's the last time that you got on your face before God and you humbled yourself and you began to say, "Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, I've been in rebellion against you. Lord, would you forgive me? Lord, would you cleanse me? Would you restore me in that relationship? Because I want to serve you and I've not been doing so and I can't do so in my sinful current condition. You alone can cleanse me and I ask you to do that." And that's where Jonah was here. It says at the end of chapter 1, verse 17, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly, and he said, 'I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight. Yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The waters surrounded me even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God.'" You know, as you read this scripture here, it says that the Lord sent this great fish and that he was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. But like I said, when he hit that water, the Lord let him sink for a while. That whale went way down low to pick him up and to scoop him into his mouth and to bring him back to the surface. Oh, he was letting him go all the way to the floor of the ocean. And you know, there's places that we don't even know about and haven't found yet and don't know what's there in the ocean today. We're still finding out things about the greatness of our God and the vastness of this universe, even the depths of the sea, as you look at where they're finding these different animals and things of life and over a mile or 2 miles deep. And we're not even sending men down there. We're having to send unmanned subs and things down there to find this information. Well, Jonah was heading straight down to the pit. Some of you are headed straight for the pit of hell. And just like Jonah, God's waiting and ready to rescue you. But you know, Jonah was in a crisis. He knew he couldn't save himself. When are you going to come to that point to realize you can't save yourself? You know, when we read earlier when he said, just throw me overboard, it says that the men refused to do that and called out to God and said, don't let us be responsible for his death. Don't let us be responsible for his blood. And they rowed harder. These were seasoned sailors. They knew already they couldn't row to dry land. They couldn't overcome this storm. But yet they didn't want to kill him. They didn't want to be responsible for his death. But let me just say too, is when's the last time you've called out to the Lord on behalf of somebody else? When's the last time you've proclaimed the message of the good news that Jesus Christ saves to those who are perishing and in the very pits of hell, in the depths of sin, and called out to them and said, listen, there's a way of salvation. Call upon the name of the Lord and he will save you. Turn from your sin. And so as he is going down, it says in verse 2 that Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. Now, you would assume that he was scooped up right away and that he was praying from there. That he's saying, Lord, save me from this fish and save me from this storm. But no, that's not it. As you read a little further, you see that he's looking back at the prayer that he prayed earlier. And he's praying continually as he's praying because he's still not totally out of danger in the belly of the whale. But as he's praying, he's thinking back of what it was when he was tossed overseas, over into the sea. He says, I cried out to the Lord in verse 2 because of my affliction, and he answered me. Maybe you're here today and you're thinking, well, you just don't know who I am. You don't know the depths of my sin. You don't know what I've done either to some of my family or my friends or coworkers or neighbors. You don't know what I've done against God. And there's no way he'll forgive me. I'm here to tell you this story is a reminder that there's no depth of depravity so deep that the arm of the Lord can't reach down to these pits and that miry clay and pull you out and save you. There's hope for everyone. And you know, as we're looking here, it says that he pulled him out of the belly of Sheol. You know, it was talked about and thought about at that time. There was a place of the dead. And it talks about these bars in just a moment, is that when you entered into the earth, it's like these bars closed behind you and there's no way of escape, no way of coming out. And so Jesus will later come out of the grave in the resurrection and disprove that. But here, even with Jonah, it's a sense that Jonah says, I was as good as dead. And let me just say, too, if you're sinning against God and you've never trusted God as your Lord and Savior, you're dead in your trespasses and sin. And you're as good as dead because you are dead spiritually. You may be alive physically, but you are dead spiritually and you're without hope. And so he said, I was at the gates of Sheol, in the belly of Sheol, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the hearts of the sea. So wait a minute. When he says that, he's referring to God casting him into the sea, but didn't we read where these sailors threw him over? You see, they were just agents of God being used by God to fulfill the wish of God because God was bringing his wrath against Jonah. Now, I know that's a word that we don't like to listen to and hear a lot, especially when we want to live our lives the way we want to live it. We want to do what we want to do, and we want to be just like everybody else around us, but we're not called and set apart to be like everybody around us. We're called to be different. We're called and set apart to be holy. And with that, we should be different from those around us. And so he is saying that you threw me into the depths as he brought his wrath against him. You see, God was disciplining and chastening Jonah for the purpose that he might repent and turn back to him, which is what happens in this story, in this prayer. And he says, and the flood surrounded me and your billows and your waves passed over me. God brought all of this upon him in his wrath. Those waves and the billows that he brought against him. He says, and then I have been cast out of your sight. Now, let me just ask you this. When he went west instead of going east to Nineveh, when the Lord told him, arise and go to Nineveh and proclaim to them the things that I've told you, is he's got up and he went west and keeps saying in the first chapter, he went down to Joppa. He went into the boat and he went down into the boat. Now he's going down into the pits of the sea. But the Lord's allowing this to happen. You see, he'll allow you to choose to rebel against him if that's your will. He won't force you to love him. He won't force you to obey him. But here's the thing. That doesn't mean he ever gives up on you. That doesn't mean he ever quits loving you. That unconditional love of the Savior is that he still loves you even as a sinner. Thank God that he loves us as a sinner. None of us would have any hope if he didn't. And so he's speaking here and he says that I have been cast out of your sight. But isn't that what Jonah had wanted? Isn't that why he ran away to begin with? He was running as far as he could trying to get away from God. Now, we know he couldn't get away from God. But Jonah says, it's as if I was cast out of your sight, as if he turned your back on me. Sound familiar? You remember reading, and this connects back to Jesus too. You remember there when he was on the cross, as Jesus bore our sins, that it says the Father turned away. He couldn't even look at him. He couldn't look at him bearing the sin, being our sin bearer, because he doesn't allow sin into his presence, but he was broken over his son being offered as that sacrifice for you and for me as well. But it says that I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. Now, how could he pray and how could he know that he's dying, he's in the sea, now he's in the belly of this fish? He hasn't been fully delivered physically yet. How could he then pray, but I once again will turn and look at your holy temple? Do you remember the prayer of Solomon when he dedicated the temple? That if your people should leave and go to a foreign land and take up the gods of these foreign countries, but yet at some point they should remember you and turn back and look to your holy temple and call upon you that you would forgive them and you would deliver them. You know what's happening here? Jonah's remembering the word of God and the promises of God. I want to tell you today that maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but you've been in church and you know all the right things and you even know a lot of the word of God. You remember that there are promises God has made to his children, that he will never leave you or never forsake you. He'll be with you. He'll give you a way of escape. All these things that you remember of Scripture. And it's in your greatest hour of need that you need to be reminded of those passages of Scripture that God loves you. And there's hope. But it's that hope that he had and who God is and the promises he had made to him is that when he turned, he repented of his sin and he turned from the world, he turned back to God and said, Lord, forgive me. When he did that, he knew. But remember what it said, why he didn't want to go to Nineveh? He had already seen the hand of God work in an evil king and how he had used him for the benefit and the blessing of Israel. He had been preaching for a long time. He had seen the grace of God, and so he didn't want God's grace to fall upon the Ninevites, who was their mortal enemy. And yet now he says, Lord, extend that grace to me, and I will look back towards your temple, and I will pray, and I will serve you. Folks, the Lord gives you that opportunity. You know what's happened here? God is a God of second chances. Too often people say, well, God won't forgive me again. There's not a time the Lord won't forgive you if you call out to him and you ask him to forgive you. That forgiveness is available and it's available for all at all times. But you know, Jonah ain't playing games here. He ain't looking for fire insurance and he ain't looking like, Lord, I just don't want to go to hell. He ain't looking like, Lord, I ain't ready to die yet. He's saying, Lord, I will be your man. You called me and you set me apart and you've used me and I ran from you and I rebelled against you. But if you will forgive me, if you'll restore me, I will serve you and I will proclaim your name. Folks, maybe there's some of us here today just need to do that very thing. We need to humble ourselves and acknowledge we need to repent. We need to turn from our sin. We need to call upon the Lord to forgive us and to restore us in that relationship with him. As Jonah is praying here, and he's being earnest with the Lord, he says, "And the water surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth and its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God." You know what's happening here? This in the midst of Jonah's despair, in the greatest need and time of his life, Jonah's saying, "But Lord, because of who you are and your great love, you have brought me up from the pit. You have saved me." You know, I think too often we don't think back enough upon our life at the time that Christ revealed himself to us and drew us to him and he saved us. We don't think back about the time that we committed ourselves to him and that we received the gift of salvation. As after we have been saved for some period of time, it's like, you know, when a kid gets a new gift or a teenager gets a new car, it's a great thing at first, but then the longer they have it, it's kind of like the less they care about it. They don't wash it anymore and clean it up, and they don't get the oil changed regular like they should be. They don't rotate the tires or all these things you do with a car when you're excited about it, and it's like the newest gift you've got and the greatest thing you've got. And then after a while, it's just like, it just gets me where I'm going. Is that the way you feel about your salvation? It just kind of gets me where I want to go. You see, it's a matter that it's a blessing, and it's a precious gift, the most precious gift anyone will ever receive. Is the gift of salvation. And so Jonah is saying, "I remembered and that you brought me up out of the pit." And he says, "Oh Lord, my God." He acknowledges him as his Lord. Now let me just say before, he said, "I serve the God who created the seas and the dry land," but he didn't say, "He's my God." He said, "I'm a servant of his," or "I know him." You know, it's kind of like people when you go out and you share the gospel and they say, "Oh, I know Jesus. I know about Jesus." Well, they know about him, but they don't know Jesus in the sense of being a child of God. They don't look to him as their heavenly father. They look to him as this person. "Oh, I know who he is. He's a real person. He's a historical figure." But you know, when you look at it, it's not about that when you're talking about salvation. He is saying, "I know that you're my God because you brought me up from my life from the pit." And then he says in verse 7, "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." You know what happens here is he remembers the Lord. He has tried every way he could to put the Lord out of his mind because he's in rebellion against him. You know, the one thing I've noticed is when I'm not where I should be, and I've noticed in others too, is when I don't want to read God's word. When I have a problem wanting to take the time to read God's word on a daily basis, not because of ritual, not because of habit, not because I have to in that sense, not that anybody's forcing me to, but because I want to. It's because I want to be alone with the Lord. I want to hear from him, and I want him to speak into my life, and I want to be obedient to him. But when that changes, and it's what I want to do, and it's what I don't want to do, is what he tells me to do. It's when I want to just say, "Lord, I don't want to hear from you because I want to live my life the way I want to. I got it for a while." That we have problems. It's called sin. And you know, he's saying here, "I remembered the Lord." And maybe here today, you just need to remember him and remember his grace to you, his love for you, and how he has reached out to you before and helped you in your time of need before. He says, "Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy." He's thinking of those sailors and all those that had prayed to their false gods, all those things they had done in trying to make vows or commitments to these false gods. But if you remember, as we finished chapter 1, once the wave stopped, those sailors made a true commitment. They committed their lives to the one true and living God. And they made sacrifices as it was dictated at the time to honor God. They made vows to God to commit their lives to him. You know, there was a time in your life for many of you that you did the same thing. You said, "Lord, thank you for saving me. I'm committing my life to you. I will be your servant. Whatever it is that you want me to do, Lord, I'll go. You know, as we were singing that song, Oceans, earlier, and it says just that my will might be that I would go wherever you want me to go. Are you really willing to go wherever God wants to go, or you just want to do what you want to do? Like I said, there's going to be a great need for people to help serve, and we have enough people in this church to do this and be very effective in loving on kids this coming week. But I'll tell you, too, that if it wasn't for outside people coming in and shame on us, if it wasn't for outside people coming in to help for the last 7 or 8 years, we couldn't have had VBS and been effective in VBS. That says there's some of us saying, Lord, I'm not willing to go where you want me to go. I'm going to do what I want to do. And maybe you just need to humble yourself before the Lord today and say, Lord, I remember you, and I remember your grace to me. And I'm going to share that with these little kids. I'm going to share that with these loved ones that need to hear it. Because notice what it says to you. It says, but I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving, and I will pay what I have vowed, because salvation is of the Lord. Jonah remembers the Lord, and he has a voice of thanksgiving. When you remember your salvation, and you remember that precious gift that you've received, you remember the day that you became a child of God, you can't help but shout with thanksgiving, rejoicing in what he has done for you. But too often, we're satisfied with what he's done for us. Remember that he had said, go to Nineveh and tell them the things I've told you. And what he's telling was that salvation is the Lord, repent. And he refused to do it. He wouldn't even tell the sailors, repent, call upon the Lord, and he'll save you. Because he was in rebellion against God. Maybe that's why 96% of church members in America today don't share their testimony and their faith, is because they're in rebellion against God. They're not walking where they should be. You can get mad at me if you want to. I'm not calling you a sinner. I'm just telling you, maybe check up. Think about it. You know, but what he says very clearly here is, for the first time, he does what God told him from the beginning. He becomes obedient because he's repented, turned back to God, and he says, salvation is of the Lord. He proclaims the message of hope, the message of the gospel. And look what happens in verse 10 as we close. It says, so the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Now, I know we don't like to hear that terminology, but the thing you need to hear is this, the irony in it. He told Jonah, get up and go to Nineveh. Jonah wouldn't do it. He went to Tarshish. But the other thing is, he speaks to a fish, just one of the lower level parts of his creation, and the fish obeys. He scoops down and scoops him into his belly. He takes him and does exactly what the Lord says do. And when Jonah repents and calls upon the Lord, he spits him out on dry land. But let me just say, too, there's a couple things you may miss in that, too, because you're caught up in the part about the vomit. It's not a pretty picture. But let me just say this, too. Picture this. When there's a birth, a physical birth, while it's a miracle of God, it's not really a pretty thing to watch, right? And it's almost like you're vomited out, in a sense, because you have to be cleaned up. You know, John's going to have to be cleaned up, in a sense, here in a little bit. But let me just say, too, when you talk about rebirth, is the Lord takes you and your sin, he saves you, and he cleans you up. It's kind of like when they take that baby and they go over to that nurse, wipes that baby down, gives its first bath, and cleanses it off. It's like that when the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within you for the first time ever. You're a clean vessel. Sad part is, just like that baby who's going to have episodes and have to be changed diapers and all those things, is we sin and we have to be cleansed again too. And not only is that rebirth, but then there's a continual cleansing process that we have to go through because of our sin. And so it's like Jonah was brought back from the dead on the third day, representative of the time that Jesus said, I'm going to be in the earth for 3 days and then I'm going to rise again. That's the sign I'll give you. You want a sign? You want to know God's will for your life? Turn to him, because the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and call upon the Lord to save you. Maybe you just need to ask him, Lord, forgive me, because you're a follower of God, But like Jonah, you've been in rebellion and you've been running from him. And whatever way God's speaking to you this morning, we want to invite you. This altar's open. We have a time of invitation. Invite you to come to him and receive that gift of forgiveness from the Lord. His only he can give that to you, whether it's for salvation or whether it's recommitting your life to him. That you would take a vow, and don't do it lightly, but you would commit yourself to him. Let us stand. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for your word. Lord, we know your word does not return void, and I thank you, Lord, for the word today that you've challenged us in. Lord, every one of us as have been in rebellion and sin against you, Lord, and at some point, for those that are followers of Christ, have repented and called upon you to save us. But Lord, that does not mean that we're without sin continually. And Lord, there's a time that each one of us need to humble ourselves and call upon you to forgive us of our sin, just as Jonah did. Even though he was your child, he was in rebellion against you and he needed forgiveness. And Lord, you not only forgave him, but you restored him and you used him in a mighty way. Lord, not only for his life to be changed, but the lives of those Ninevites to be changed too forevermore. Lord, would you use us like that? Would we commit ourselves to you to be that vessel, that ambassador for you that you want us to be? Lord, may you be glorified through us in all that we say and we do. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.